So we have Parshas Chayisara. Chayisara is a fascinating parsha in many different ways, but the obvious sort of glaring contrast between the name of the parsha and the material of the parsha, the content of the parsha, is that it's talking about Sarah's life. Chayisara is the life of Sarah, and none of it really talks about Sarah. Right? It talks about burying Sarah, it talks about eulogizing Sarah, and then really the parsha continues to talk about the progeny of Sarah, the people that are going to continue on the legacy of Avram and Sarah. What you find interestingly enough is that also the Haftorah has a similar theme, right? Hamelch David Zakin Baba Yamim, just like Avram was Baba Yamim, David was getting old, and the whole Haftorah is about who's going to take over for David. So it seems to be that the theme of this week's Parsha and the theme of the Torah is who's going to take over, right? Who's the passing of the torch, if you will. So that's what Chayisara is, and when you can understand that in a variety of ways. One of the ways that we can understand that is that our legacy is, you know, our life is about who we leave over and who continues after us is very much what's going to define our own legacy. So the Parsha of Chayisara is interesting for that simple contrast of the name of the Parsha and the content of the Parsha. But we're going to focus mostly today on the scene in the crux of the Parsha. What's the scene of the crux of the Parsha? That's Eliezer trying to find what ends up being Rivka, right? Eliezer being sent by Avram Avinu. So I guess this picks up on page... really, the beginning of the first, well, I guess not the beginning, in the middle of Sheni, after Avram gets Maras HaMachpelah, right? So he gets the burial place for Sarah. The end of that scene is basically the end of Perek Chav Gimel. So in the beginning of Sheni already, or towards the beginning of Sheni, Avram is asking Baba Yamim. So the question is, who's going to take over? Sarah just died. Now her only son is left without a wife. So the beginning of Sheni, or in the middle of Sheni, it starts to tell the story of Avram telling Eliezer to go find a wife for Yitzchak. And this goes all the way until the end of Chamishi, right? So it basically ends, and those are the longest aliyahs of the Torah also, of the Parsha also. So it's going from page 108 to 120. And there's only one more page on both sides in the art scroll, right? There's a page beforehand and a page afterwards. And the other 12 pages, or 6 pages in the Hebrew, the other 6 pages in the middle are all talking about the story of Eliezer finding Rivka. So why does it take so many pages? Welcome, Paula. Why does it take so many pages? Not only because it's a long story and goes into much detail, but it goes through it twice. So if you see... The first source you have today in Rashi, we'll get into the Pesukim in a second. Rashi tells us in the first source, Vayva Yom Hayom Yatsas Vayom Basi, Mikan Shekavta Lo Haaretz, Amar Rabbi Acha, Yafa Sichasan Shel Avdei Avos, Lefnei HaMakom Mitorasan Shel Banim. More important, or beautiful, are the Sichatan Shel Avdei Avot. What does it mean? Sichatan Shel Avdei Avot? What does a phrase mean? What's a sicha?
A conversation? Or
a... Right, a sicha is a speech, really. A sicha is speech. In Hebrew, this has got to be borrowing from like Latin prefixes or something. You know, anyone know how to say a dialogue in Hebrew?
Dialogue.
Right? Du siach. Like duo. Du siach. It's siach with a duo siach. It's two people... It's two people talking. Du siach. So here, sicha, sichatan shel avdei avot. How would you translate sichatan shel avdei avot? This is really Aramaic, but if we would put it into Hebrew, it would be sichatam. What does sichatam literally translate to?
Their
speeches. Their conversations, right? Their talkings. So, it's first of all, it's interesting. It's one of these... it's one of the great ambiguities of the English language is the word of. O-F. Right? When I say the conversation of the servants of forefathers, or the conversation of the forefather's servants. So that could be understood in one of two ways. That could be understood as saying the conversation about the servants, right? Sichatan shel avdei avot, the discussion of the servants, meaning we're talking about them, or literally the discussion of the servants, meaning what they said. So we'll have to come back to that later as to what exactly this midrash is referring to. But what's the point of this? What's the point of this midrash that Rashi quotes? Yafas yichashin tzolado avdei avos lotei amakam mitarasan shalbanim. Sharei, because behold, parasha shel Eliezer kafula batorah. The story of Eliezer finding Rivka is repeated in the Torah, said two times over. V'harbe gufei Torah lo nitnu ala birmiza. And many of the very important halachos, many of the important laws that we have in the Torah, are only given over through a nuance, through a little hint, through a drasha that we make. And yet, Eliezer's story comes twice over, with all of the detail, almost all of the detail, you know, two times in the parsha. So says Rabbi Acha that this is an example of the greatness of the stories or the discussion of the servants. More than it's greater than the halachos of the Torah itself. So we have to figure out what exactly that means for us, because we know it's repeated, but there's another opportunity for it to be repeated, right? If you look at the story, so what happens? Avram on page 108 asks Eliezer, "Go find me a wife," right? If you would go to 108, Avram zaken b'bayom Hashem berachas Avram bakol. Hashem has blessed Avram with everything. That word bakol, first of all, is very interesting as a tangent. Anyone know what bakol represents? The word bakol. Second word on the last line on page 108. V'Hashem berachat Avraham bakol. And Hashem blessed Avram with everything. How much is bet in the gematria? It's 2. How much is chaf? 20. How much is lamed? 30. Put it all together, what do you get? 52. What's another combination that gets you 52?
Weeks.
Oh, 52 is the weeks of the year. That's interesting. What other word is 52? 50 is nun. A bet is 2, right? So if you try to make a word, ben. So Hashem beirachat Avram bakol. What did Hashem give Avram? A son. That's what Bakol means. But what did he not give Avram? A daughter. And that's the next pasuk. Vayomer Avram alavdo zekan beto ha-moshe b'chol ha-shelo simnei el-chatachat yurichi. Bless or promise me. Vashbiacha b'ashem okei ha-shamayim v'okei ha-aretz. Ha-shelo tikach yishar levni. Don't get, interesting that he starts with what not to get. Don't get me a woman for my son from Vinot Kanani. Don't get a daughter from Kinaan, Asher Anochim Shebekirbo, where we're sitting now. This is not going to be an easy job. You can't go around the corner and find somebody. You're going to have to go far away. We're going to have to go. Kiel Artziv Yael Moladati Telech. Go to my land, my homeland. Volakach to Isha Livni Yitzchak. And go find a woman for my son, for Yitzchak. So this is part one of the story, where Avram is telling Eliezer to get him a daughter for Yitzchak. What's the second time over? With Lavan, right? When he finally finds Rivka. Where is that? So if you look at page 114, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayomer bo baruch Hashem lamet hamar b'chus v'anuchi p'nisi habayis makom lagmalim. Right, Lavan says, come inside, basically. Vayvoj habayis v'aytak malim, v'aytin tamim mispo, v'akmalim mayim v'chus v'raglav, v'raglav, v'agam shim asher ito. He gave him some food to eat. And then Eliezer says in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, lo ochal ad im dibarti v'aray. I'm not going to eat until I tell you my piece. What's my piece? What are the things I have to say? Vayomar, Eved Avram Anochi, I'm Avram's servant. Hashem berachas adonim ma'od va'yigdal beitin zonu v'kor v'chesef zahav v'avadim shvachos v'lim v'chamarim v'atel tzarash eshes adoni ben aloni. He had a son, and he gave him everything he had. And v'yashbi eni adoni le'mor, Avraham, my master, made me swear, Lo tikach shalom nivim, no tzakan, ani asher anochi yoshe b'artel, right? Same pasuk, basically. You can't get a daughter from Canaan. Im lo el beit avi, telech lel mishpachti, lo akach te'isha livni, go get me a daughter of my homeland, meaning my family. And then he goes to the same story. And you can see that in pages 116 and 118. And then it says the end, at the beginning of Chamishi, right? After he finishes the story. And Chamishi starts, Nun gimel, vayotzei havei klei chesef klei zav, v'gadim, and then he leaves, vayichlu, vayishtu, and they had a big feast. They got up in the morning, and he says, can I go? And they have this whole back and forth. How could I disagree with God? Of course you can go. And then they go back and forth, and tries to keep Rivka. Ultimately, they're able to go bring Rivka to Yitzchak, right? Yitzchak's davening on page 120. She covers herself. We can talk about this a different time. V'atikach ha-tza'if ha-tizkah. She covers herself with some kind of scarf because Yitzchak is davening. She's trying to be have a certain reverence for his davening. And then, what does it say? In Pasuk Samech Vav on page 120. V'yisaper ha-eved li Yitzchak et kol ha-dvarim asher asa. And the Eved, the servant, says to Yitzchak everything that he did. And that's it. Right? So what's interesting? The first time we hear the actual story, Avram and Eliezer. The second time, the Torah feels the need to go through the entire story again when he says to Lavan. To Lavan. Like that's the person we need to hear about the details to. Lavan. And then when it comes to Yitzchak, the Torah says, oh, you already know the story. Vayisaper ha'eved liyitzchak is kol ha'dvarim asher asa. Why couldn't you say vayisaper ha'eved l'lavan? Why couldn't you do the same thing before? So we have two opportunities to say the story. We say it both times, and the third one comes. We're like, okay, we've said this enough. So what's strange about this is, even though we have this Rashi in the middle of the parsha, that Rav Acha tells us, "Yafas yichasin shel abdei avos lufnei hamakom mitrasin shel banim." We love hearing the stories of the servants of our forefathers more than even the halachos that come down later. We don't love it that much, right? We love it, but only twice, not three times. We don't love it that much. So there's clearly something happening which goes beyond just we want to tell the story a lot. Because if that was the case, we would tell it again, especially when it comes to Yitzchak, who's the one that really needs to hear the details. Lavan doesn't need to hear the details, right? It might convince him, it might help him, but basically Eliezer is asking for Rivka. But Yitzchak didn't know the whole story. Yitzchak was the one that needed to know all the details to recognize that this was something that came from Hashem. Lavan really, you know, doesn't care that much. Obviously he uses verbiage about Hashem. So we have to dig in a little bit. So what's interesting about this, I find, is Eliezer's role. So first of all, Avram was too old, he couldn't do it himself. Eliezer is not a young whippersnapper either, but he was at least capable of doing this, and he was the entrusted servant of Avram for many years. Well, the first Rashi we just said talked about how it took him only a day to get to Lavan. I don't know about the way back. Presumably not so far. If you look here, it says Va'avo Hayom, the Pasuk Mem Bet in Perek Chaf Dalid. That's on page 114. 116. Doesn't sound like that, no.
And you don't think Yitzchak knew that Eliezer was on this specific
place? Oh, you're saying, hey, Dad, where's Eliezer? I haven't seen him in a while.
He hasn't been gone.
Yeah, no, he probably knows that he's out there, but he doesn't know exactly what happened. He didn't necessarily, this wasn't like a team huddle, right? It wasn't like Eliezer, Yitzchak.
This is also the first time we see Yitzchak since that theater, right? We have no...
Yeah, so this actually fills in a little bit. It's unclear what the timing is, but if you look back at the end of Parshas Vayera, I talked about this on Rosh Hashanah, at the end of Rosh Hashanah. So on page 100 and... fingers are too dry. 104. So in Pasuk Yud Tes, in the aftermath of the Akedah, we read it on Shabbos, it says, Vayashav Avram el Narav. So Avram goes back to the youths, whoever they are. Vayakumu vayalchul yachtav el Be'er, and they walk together to Be'er Sheva. Vayeshav Avram be'er Sheva. And Avram settles in Be'er Sheva. Now, Avram wasn't the only one there. Where's Yitzchak? Right? So it says that they walked together towards Be'er Sheva, but only Avram settled there. So where's Yitzchak? What happened to Yitzchak? Right, aftermath of Avram almost shechting his son, and all we hear about is that Avram goes to Be'er Sheva. So there is actually an interesting midrash that tells us that Yitzchak stayed on Har Abayis. According to one midrash, there are different understandings of this. According to one midrash, Yitzchak's actually on Har Abayis, and he's learning in a base midrash with Malachim. That's what one midrash says. Yonas Aminu Zeal talks about that. But it's unclear where Yitzchak is. This is one of the mysteries of the ambiguity of the Torah. We don't really know. We can't fill in all the details unless it's actually important for the story.
It's in this part, so that he's at Al-Harabi.
Well, that's after the that's after when Eliezer comes. What? Yeah, but does it say he was there the whole time?
No, I know.
Yeah, no, it says afterwards on page 118 at the bottom. It says Yitzchak was coming from Be'er Lachayroi, whatever that represents. What? Uhuyoshe Be'er Tanegev. So I mean that's where he was coming from at this point in time, but we don't know where he's been until that. So we don't know how Sarah died unless we. Right. So I don't know exactly. There is a way to figure it out. Rashi talks about it. Yeah.
He needed some time to
maybe to detox.
But there still wasn't immediate.
According to the Midrash. Yeah. There's also a big machlokas between I think it's Rashi and the Ramban. If Avram had gone somewhere in between. Because you notice that at the beginning of the Parsha, how's the Parsha start off? Vayavo Avraham. Where was Avraham? Right? He was in Be'er Sheva. Right? Sarah's in Chevron, and Avram's in Be'er Sheva. Sarah dies, and Avram's got to come back from Be'er Sheva to Chevron. So what was Avram doing? So there's this big tumult, and they're showing him what exactly was Avram doing, where did he go, was he with Sarah, did he go to Hebron, then he went to Be'er Sheva. So there, I don't remember exactly how it shakes out, but there's a lot of discussion here, because between Parshas Vayera and Parshas Chayisa, there's a lot of ambiguity. Where is Yitzchak? Why does Avram go to Be'er Sheva? What does he do there? Does Yitzchak join him at any point? So there are some like ambiguities that we don't really know about, which make it harder for me to understand how much time has passed. But either way, Eliezer is being sent by Avraham. You would think the one person that needs to know what actually happened was Yitzchak, and he's the only one we don't get the details about. Right? And it's Yitzchak's wife, but the Torah spares us the details a third time, and just says, and he told him everything that happened. So now we have to figure out a little bit better what's going on between these three moments, right? When Avram says it to Eliezer, when Eliezer actually does it and then says it to Lavan, and then when Eliezer repeats it to Yitzchak. So, Vilgus source number two. This is when it actually happens, right? So, this would be on page like 114. V'Hashem berachas Adoni me'od v'yigdal. We just said this pasuk before, that Eliezer says to Pasuk Lamed Hey, Eliezer says to Lavan that Hashem has blessed my master with a lot, and he gave him tzon and bakar, kesef, zav, avadim, shvachus, gmalim, achamorim, a lot of wealth, a lot of people. Vateled Saras eshes Adoni ben Adoni. Sarah, who, by the way, is, what's funny about this? Sarah, who is the wife of my master, right? Who was Sarah to Lavan? No. Aunt. Isn't it? Aunt, wasn't she Besuel's? I don't remember exactly, but they're mishpacha. And Elias, you know Sarah, right? You know, he married my master. Like, it's just funny. Like, you know that Sarah, you remember Sarah, right? It's like, Eshes Adoni, Ben Adoni, and then they had a child. And he gave everything he had. And he made me swear that I wouldn't take a daughter from Canaan. Why does Lavan need to know that? Not sure. But then it says, what does Eliezer say back? And he said this in the original also. What does he say? What does Eliezer say to Avram?
Maybe
she doesn't want to come. You're still confident that I'm not going to get someone from Canaan. But what if I have to? What if there's no girl on the entire planet that wants to marry Yitzchak except for the girls from Canaan? Ulai lo tilechei shacharai. Maybe she won't follow me. Vayomer Eli, and Avram said to me, Hashem asher yisalachti lefanav yishalach ma'alachol yitach litzich darkacha. Hashem's going to make it happen. Lachtach lishal levni mishbachas b'yisavi. And Hashem's going to make sure that either, interestingly enough, I think the original conversation was a little bit different. Let me see for a second. Ulailo sovet haisha, right? Maybe she won't desire to. Lo'echaz acharei al aretz azos ha'heshev ha'shiv es bincha al aretz asher atas misham. Should I... al aretz asher atas misham. Ha'heshev ha'shiv es bincha. Should I bring back your son? What does that mean? Meaning to Canaan? No.
No, to take
the wife. Well, what would that change? Oh, he's saying, what if she doesn't want to come with me geographically? Maybe she'd agree to marry him, but not to come with me to this place. Should I bring your son back? Don't bring my son there. Don't bring Yitzchak. Hashem promised me all these things. He's going to bring. He's going to make sure that you're successful. If the woman doesn't want to come, so then you're not obligated. You're off the hook. For whatever reason, when Eliezer says it over, he leaves out those few psukim and says, Hashem's going to make it happen, don't worry. That's it. Not that you're going to be absolved, it doesn't work, and not that Hashem promised me all these things and it has to work, but Hashem's going to make it work, that's all. What's interesting about this one statement from Eliezer? Maybe she's not going to want to come. What's weird about that? First of all, Eliezer's a servant, right? If Avram says jump, you say how high, right? You're questioning Avram's directive, instruction. Avram said, don't go to Canaan, go to my birthplace and find a wife. And Eliezer says, yeah, well, what if that doesn't work? What do you mean, what if it doesn't work?
I have a plan B.
Yeah, but that's for Avram to figure out. That's not for Eliezer to figure out. Right, that's
yeah,
true.
About Eliezer wanting Yitzchak to marry his daughter.
Good, that's in that source.
Oh.
So why did Eliezer ask this question? Says Rashi for a very specific reason. Ulai lo telecha isha. You'll notice that the word ulai typically has a vav in it. Aleph vav lamed yud, and here it says aleph lamed yud. So the punctuation makes it the same, ulai, but it's written like this in the Torah. Says Rashi, Eli, Eli kasiv, Eli or Eli. Bas haisa lo Eliezer. Eliezer had a daughter. Vayimachazer limso ila. And he was trying to find some kind of excuse or reason, pretext, to say, Shiyomar lo Avram lifnos a love lahasio bito. Eliezer was searching for a reason why maybe his daughter could marry Yitzchak. So he says, well, maybe she's not going to want to come. Meaning, maybe you're going to want to give Yitzchak to my daughter. You know, they say, I said this over in the two times ago Legends and Lessons by Rabbi Kiva Eger and Chassam Sofer. Right? When Rabbi Kiva Eger's daughter's husband passed away, it was soon after the Chassam Sofer's wife passed away. So the... So Rabbi Kiva Eger had called up. He reached out to the Chassam Sofer and said, hey, do you know any guys for my daughter? So the Chassam Sofer was a busy guy. He said to his gabbai, he said to his shamash, you know, do you have anyone? Rabbi Kiva Eger's daughter is a widow. She needs somebody. So the gabbai is like, Rabbi Sofer, you can marry Rabbi Kiva Eger's daughter. Right? So Eliezer's sitting there to Avram and saying, like, hello, I've got a daughter, like, why don't we make this happen? So Avram says to him, why don't you go to this faraway place, take a big schlep, a big journey, and find someone from that family? And Eliezer's like, well, maybe we don't have to go that far. Maybe she's not going to want to come. Can we just like keep it in-house? Right? So says Rashi, that's all hinted to in this one phrase. First of all, the phrase in general is strange. As we said before, Eliezer is questioning Avram's judgment. Maybe she's not going to come. Guys, go figure it out, Eliezer. He told you to go try, so go figure it out. And then secondly, says Rashi, it's also hinted to by this word Eli or Eli. Maybe you're going to come to me. Not Ulai like maybe, but Ulai Eli. To me you should come. Come to me, my daughter. Make my daughter the one that's going to marry Yitzchak. So this is what Rashi understands to be what this pasuk is all about. Maybe she's not going to want to come is really as Adina was saying, a strategy Eliezer was trying to get his daughter into the mix.
Why would he use that language and he's talking to Lavan? Why would Lavan?
Oh, good. We'll make that question even stronger. Because as Adina is saying, this source, in source number two, is not when he's talking to Avraham. This is when he's recalling what he said to Avraham when he's talking to Lavan. So let's look back at the first time he talks to Avram. When he actually talks to Avram, source number four. Vashbiachab Hashem okay Hashem okay Arzushalosikach Shalavdi Vinosakne Hashem Nochi Yoshebek Yerbo. Avram says, "Don't go to Canaan. Ki Al Ratziva Malatit Tilech Lekachli Yishabel Nilisak. Go get me a wife from my household." Vayomer Elav Ha'Eved Ulai Lo Soveh Yisha. What's interesting about that?
There's a vav.
He's still asking the question, but there's a vav. The hint to Eliezer's strategy is not embedded in the actual conversation. It's only in the recalling of the conversation, which is very interesting. Because if this whole point, as Adina was pointing out, is in order to give over the idea that Eliezer was trying to make it an inroad into the family of Avram, so why didn't he give over that message beforehand? Or why wasn't that part of the message beforehand? So if you look at the Torah in source number 6, the Torah says in source number 6, and just to remind ourselves of the question, source number 5, when he says the story over to Yitzchak, he doesn't mention anything. Right? The Torah doesn't mention anything. The Torah tells us, who was the Torah? The Torah was the son of the Rush. Son of the Rush, Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher, the Balaturim. And he says, Ulai lo telech, Elik or Eli Kesiv, Perish Rashi Shesabas Eliezer. Eliezer had a daughter, Ubika Shesana Yitzchak, and he wanted his daughter to marry Yitzchak. V'im Kain, Hayalolarishon Lios Chaser. Says the Torah, well then it should have also been Chaser, missing, meaning without the Vav, the first time around. Ella, why didn't he do it? According to the Torah, Lo Milao Libo Lomar Sheyisa Yitzchak Bito. Ad she'amar lo lavan. He didn't have the, I guess, audacity to say that Yitzchak would marry his daughter until Lavan said to him, Bo baruch Hashem, come blessed by Hashem. Va'amar me'ata ani mevorach ula yisa Yitzchak biti. It's only once I notice that I'm blessed by Hashem that I think my daughter can marry Yitzchak. Before, when I'm talking to Avram, who am I? I'm just a servant. I'm just a guy that lives in his house. I can't possibly fathom that my daughter, the daughter of a servant, could marry a person like Yitzchak. Couldn't happen. Like Cinderella story, right? Couldn't happen. But it's only once he goes to Lavan. And how does Lavan greet Eliezer? Bo Baruch Hashem, come man who is blessed by God. Says Eliezer, that's right, I am blessed by God. My daughter could marry Yitzchak. And then when he tells the story to Lavan, according to the Torah, then he starts to think to himself, Ulai, Eli, maybe for me, Yitzchak can marry my daughter. Can marry my daughter and not Lavan's daughter. That's how the Torah understands it. But the Sfasemes quotes the Kutzke Rebbe with perhaps an even greater psychological insight. The Kutzke Rebbe, known for his psychological insights, says the following. Or the Sfas Emes quotes him as saying the following. The Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes. Raina, didn't you ask me this once? No? Someone asked me this recently. So the Sfas Emes, the Sfas Emes is a little later. The Sfas Emes probably lived at the end of the 19th century. The Katzke Rebbe, who he's quoting, who's sort of a grand Rebbe, I think he actually met the Katzke Rebbe when he was a child. But the Katzke Rebbe himself probably died, if I had to guess, in the 1850s. Yeah, pretty recent. This is Hasidism, right? Our Thursday night class, Pshischa on the Parsha, has these characters off-quoted because they come from the world of Rav Simcha Banava Pshischa, who is an offshoot of Polish Hasidus, which is a little different than sort of Ukrainian or Hungarian Hasidus. It's very different. But but this is Ger. Ger Hasidim, Gor Hasidim, whatever you want to call them, comes from the Sfas Emes, or really the Chiddush Harim, his grandfather. Sfas Emes' father died when he was like 8 years old. He was actually raised by his grandfather, the Chiddush Harim, Rabbi Yitzchak Meir Alter, who was technically the first Ger Rebbe, but practically he was really a student of Simcha Banim, so he didn't really start Ger Hasidus. Either way. So the Sfas Emes quotes his grandfather, the Chiddush Harim, and the Chiddush Harim quotes Rev Menachem Mendel Morgenstern, the Katzke Rebbe. That's what you see in source number 7. Amar Adoni Zekeini Morenu Verabenu Zal Higid V'Shem Harav Hakadosh Mikatzk Al Eli Ksiv. What does he say about the word Eli? Implicitly, he's asking the same question as the Torah. Why didn't it say it the first time? Or the same question as Adina. Why didn't it say it the first time? Kik Shahaya Nogea Lo Hirgish Nigiaso. Does anyone know what that means? Really a fascinating insight. Because when he was nogeya, what does nogeya mean? Nogeya literally means to touch, right? Like shomer negiya, right? Mm-hmm. To guard from touching. So nogeya here means involved. While he was involved, right? He was nogeya bedavar. You ever heard the phrase nogeya bedavar? Like a witness can't serve as a witness or a conflict of interest because he's nogeya bedavar. He's involved in the situation, right? You can't be a witness for your brother because you're nogeya bedavar, right? You have some chips in that game. So here, kikshehaya nogeya lo hirgish negiaso. When Eliezer was involved and had what to contribute to the situation, because of that involvement, he didn't feel that he was involved. Or in other words, he had a bias, but because it was a subconscious bias, he didn't even notice it. So what changed? V'nir shehechzira Torah kol ha-parsha. And therefore the Torah repeats the entire story. She'al zeh amar Rabbeinu Zal yafas yichasan v'chulei, which, as we saw from Rashi, is the whole point is that because we love the stories of the forefather servants, shegam hu yare, because he was also afraid. Shema yeshlo eze negia v'ulai kaka shlichas ayadi. He thought maybe I was too involved and something's going to go wrong with my mission. Ki yada neemana ki ratzon Avram avinu lavashem yimale Hashem esparach. He knew that Avram's whole plan was going to work. Hashem's going to make it work. But he was afraid that something would happen in his own shlichus. That's why it says that Eliezer davened to Hashem that he should make sure that my journey is successful. Not that Avram's not going to find a daughter for Yitzchak, but rather that I should be the one that does it properly. Okay, fine. Therefore, he told over the entire story again, v'hirgish b'negiaso, and it's only once he was sort of looking back at the story, going through every step of the process and saying, what happened here, that he realized, oh my gosh, I have a bias in this situation. Uch shenistalik negiaso, zacha lahashlim hashlichos kareli. And it was only once he was able to remove his own bias that he was able to do his mission properly. And similarly, he knew that everything was because of Avram. Basically, if we were going to paraphrase what the Katzke Rebbe just said, when Eliezer is speaking to Avram the first time around, so Eliezer is asking this question, Ulai, she's not going to, Ulai lo tove ha'isha. Maybe this woman's not going to want to come. Why did he ask that? Because subconsciously he's got a daughter. But he didn't realize that that's why he was asking it. When he asked it, he just thought, like, okay, but like, what if it doesn't work? Subconsciously, Eliezer was thinking about his daughter. He didn't know that. He didn't even realize his own bias. It's only later, after he finds Rivka, when he's recalling the story, and he says to Lavan, and then I asked Avraham with an audacity, I had the audacity to ask him, Ulai lo selecha isha, maybe she's not going to want to come. The reason I asked that was clearly because I had a daughter. Of course it's going to work out. Hindsight's 20/20. He's sitting there with Rivka, right? He's sitting there with Rivka. Everything worked out in the end. And he thinks that, how could I possibly ask that question? How could I have gone to Avram Avinu, the servant of Hashem, who had just gone to the Akedah Yitzchak, who's gone through everything, Lech Lecha, all the different things. I had the audacity to ask him, Ulai lo selecha isha. It must be because I was trying to do something with my daughter. That must be what happened. And that's why only the second time around, when he's talking to Lavan, does it have the hint in the Pasuk. Because that's when he realized his own bias. That's when he realized that he was really in it, and he was conspiring, he was trying to conspire on behalf of his daughter. A beautiful insight from the Katzke Rebbe, that oftentimes, when we're inside of a situation, we don't realize our own subconscious bias in the situation. And it's only later, when we're looking in hindsight, when we're trying to figure out how things happened, and you say to ourselves, why did I do that? What could have motivated me to do that? And we realize it's because I had one bias or another bias. I was just sitting with someone at lunch recently, and they said to me, I don't eat meat. I said, why don't you eat meat? He said, I don't know. It must be something from my childhood. Okay? but he can't figure it out. Right? But something happened where he's trying to figure out what caused him to be like that. So Eliezer is sitting there with Lavan and saying, why did I ask that question? And it's only then that he realized that he had this bias with his daughter. So says the Katzke Rebbe, that that's what happened only the second time around. So we had the Torah. The Torah's understanding was that the first time around, Eliezer didn't have the audacity to ask Avram because he didn't think he was up to snuff. He was this little, servant. Who is he to have his daughter marry the Gadol Ador?
Well, the dynamics have changed.
Right.
When he's with Avraham, he is subservient.
Right.
When he comes to Lavan, he's treated like a special person.
Right, well, that's part of what the Torah is saying.
Yeah.
Right, the so, Lavan welcomes him in and says, oh.
You start thinking about yourself, like, hey.
Good. Look, this godly person's coming in. Bo Baruch Hashem. Blessed by Hashem. And Eliezer says, yeah, maybe I am pretty special. Maybe my daughter can marry. And that's the Torah's understanding. The Katzke Rebbe's understanding is, no, it's not about that. It's really about Eliezer recognizing his own bias later on, when he's recalling the story in hindsight. And the truth is that this is something that we always have to realize. If you continue in the Sfas Emes, V'chein, the second to last line, V'chein kol, in source number 7, V'chein kol adam tzarech leida, everyone has to know, ki hu shliach Hashem yisbarach ba'olam hazeh, that we are all on a mission from Hashem in this world. U'chefi sheyodea zos, v'chol ma'asav al kavana zu, v'gam yodea shekol ma'a sheyizke lasos gamkin sha'aydeir sheritzono yisbarach, sheyenase ritzono. Az, chafetz Hashem biyado yatzliach. Right? It's only once we recognize that Hashem is, that we are really servants or on a mission from Hashem that we can truly become successful when we realize our place. Right? Eliezer was on a mission from Avram. He was supposed to do what Avram said. And it's only through his recognition that do it as Avram said and don't ask questions. That's when he was successful, when he sort of fully embraced his mission. And the Katzke Rebbe is saying, or maybe the Sfas Emes at this point, I'm not sure if he has transitioned into his own voice yet, but kol adam tzarech leida ki hu shliach Hashem yisbarach. Everyone has to realize that they're on a mission from Hashem, and it's not our job to say to Hashem, ulai this, ulai that. Even if we think we have the purest of intentions, oftentimes it's because of something inside of us, right? The amount of times where I'm, teaching and, saying over a halach, it's like, oh yeah, I like that one. I was teaching this past week. We talked on Shabbos afternoon about Makom Kavua. So someone, speaking of audacity, or at least bravery, so someone said, I feel like Makom Kavua is the antithesis of Judaism. Antithesis of Judaism, it's a halacha. So like he explained it, whatever, we were able to discern what exactly bothered him about it, etc. But oftentimes you find that we connect to certain halachos, and our gut reaction is, I don't like that one. What does it mean you don't like that one? Everything comes from Hashem, and the halachos and the Torah Shabbat Peh that we have is from the same source. Now, we may connect to something more than another thing, but that shouldn't in any way, prevent or preclude the commitments that we have towards it, right? So, similarly, says the Sfasem, we're all shluchei Hashem. Hashem sends us on missions to do the Torah, to do the mitzvos, and it's up to us to do them properly. And we shouldn't let any of our own biases come in the way of that mission. Just like Eliezer, in one moment of, I guess, curiosity, of self-interest, says to Avram Avinu, Ulai lo sovei Aisha, maybe she's not going to want to go. Maybe she's not going to want to go with Yitzchak. What kind of audacity, what kind of chutzpah is that? What do you mean, maybe she's not going to go? I'm asking you to do something. You're my servant. You're supposed to do what I say. Right? So obviously times have changed. We don't have people that we listen to or tell people to do things. But we are all shluchei hamakom. We're all servants of Hashem. And just like Eliezer had that moment of subconscious self-interest, we also have to make sure that we're keeping ourselves safely attuned to our own biases, that we don't seem... That we don't see a halacha and say to ourselves, oh, that's not for me, or that's not what we do, right? A lot of interesting examples that can be brought about this in terms of how we shoehorn everything in the Torah to our own personal world outlook, and we're not willing to take a step back and see how the truth is one thing and our opinion is another thing. The Mishnah Avos tells us, Hu Haya Omer, that, I don't know, I forgot who it is, Asei Ritzoncha Kirtzonecha, that you should make Ritzono Kirtzonecha, you should make Hashem's will into your will. Kedei Sheyaseh Ritzoncha Kirtzono, so that Hashem makes your will into His will. Batel Ritzoncha Mimnei Ritzono, that and here it says, nullify your will to His will, so that He will nullify others' will to your will. Meaning Hashem will make things happen as long as you're on his side. You're doing things because He wants it. Batel means to nullify any biases or any, distractions or subconscious interests that you have. But I wanted to extrapolate from here a bit of a different message, which goes sort of beyond the Katzke Rebbe, but really connects both the Katzke Rebbe and the Torah's concept. And that is that Eliezer, possibly, and this is my own thing, so take it or leave it, but Eliezer possibly is trying to, and by the way, I thought last week was somewhat of my own idea, the salt thing, but I found that someone else said it. So I didn't bring it into the world. Someone else brought it into the world, but I had connected to it spiritually, and that's why it came out in our class. But someone else had said it. I forgot where I read it. But either way. So similarly, maybe someone says this too, but I doubt it because this is really just my... This is sort of my alley. That Eliezer in this whole episode is trying to find himself. He comes into this episode as the Eved of Avraham. And the Parsha almost exclusively calls him Ha-Eved, the servant. It doesn't even call him Eved Avraham. It's only later on, he calls himself Eved Avraham. But the Torah only calls him Eved Avraham after everything happens. On page 120, I think. Where is it? It says Ha-Eved a few times before and after. No, I don't see it. Oh, yeah, it's Vayishachu es Rivka achusam ves minikta ves Eved Avram ves Anashav. It says it on page 118 towards the bottom. But either way, so... It's one of the longest ones in Bereishis, for sure. There's another long one later on, I think, with Shechem. I think that one's also long. But yeah, no, it's one of the longest. Yeah, 67 seconds, pretty long. But Eliezer, I think, is going through somewhat of a crisis. And this really is really built on the Torah that we said before. That Eliezer sees his lot in life as defined through Avraham. Right? That Avraham is basically his ticket to his own self-worth. Right? And he says to Avraham, basically, I've got a daughter. Let's make it official. You know, let's make it official that my life is tied to yours. I've been your trusted servant for all these years. How about we make it official, right? You know, that my life is basically defined through you. And Eliezer basically understands his own worth through the prism of Avram Avinu. And I think using the Torah, we can understand that it's only once Lavan opens the door, welcomes him into the house and says, Bo Baruch Hashem, and says basically, you know, welcome the man of God. And Eliezer realizes to himself, you know, I no longer feel the need to always be connected to Avram Avinu. Obviously, I'm doing things for Avram Avinu. Obviously, I'm doing the work of Hashem with Avram Avinu, but I don't have to be defined by Avram Avinu. And it's through that sort of recognition of his own self, his own worth, his own identity, that he's able to therefore recognize his own bias, like the Sfas Emes was saying, like the Kutzker Rebbe was saying. Because it's only once he releases, he disconnects his own identity from Avram Avinu, that he can appreciate. He's outside of the internal politics. He's outside of the situation that he realizes he was wrong all along. And that's why it says in the second time around, sort of like a combination of the two reasons, of the Torah and the Kutzker Rebbe, that Eliezer's whole identity is the story of this finding a wife for Yitzchak. And that's why it's repeated. Now, the Sfas Emes had said, or the Kutzker Rebbe had said this one line about why it's repeated. Yafa sichasen shel ovdei avos. Right? Beautiful is the story of the forefathers. I had mentioned earlier that this is an interesting English ambiguity, the word of. The discussion of the forefathers. The discussion of the servants. We said that can be understood one of two ways. The discussion about the forefathers, or literally the discussion of the forefathers, or the servants of the forefathers. Perhaps what this Rashi is saying is not, we like to talk a lot about the forefathers and their servants, and is rather, we like that beautiful is the actual words of the Avadim, the actual words of the servants. What's the beauty of the words of the Avadim? The beauty of the words of the Avadim is how Eliezer talks. The first time around, he's asking Avram a question, it sounds a little chutzpahdik. The second time around, he realizes that. But as we're saying before, the beauty of Eliezer's words in these two parshios is that he finds himself. That the first time he didn't really know what he was independent of Avram. He was always the Eved Avram. He was always just the servant of Avram. His name is never mentioned in this parsha. Right, the whole story is about him going to do the work of Avram Avinu, but his name is never mentioned. And it's only through this episode that he realizes he doesn't need to be tied to Avram Avinu, that his own worth is independent of Avram. And he learns that from, of all people, Lavan himself. We learn a lot of things from Lavan, coincidentally. But this is one of the things Eliezer learned from Lavan, that he's a person of worth without, regardless of his connection to Avram Avinu. And therefore, says the Sfas Emes, or my extension of the Sfas Emes, that the beauty of the words of the servants is that Eliezer found himself. And why is that important for the continuation? Because we said before, there we have another question. We said the story once with Avram Avinu, we said the story again with Lavan, but then when it comes to Yitzchak, we're not saying the story. Why aren't we saying the story? Because we already got the message. Yafa sichasen shel ovdei avos means beautiful are the words of Eliezer. Which words? That he found himself. We can see how he spoke to Avram. We see how he spoke to Lavan. He found his own identity. And that's beautiful because he found his own independence. We don't have to say the story again because we just saw the beauty of it. The beauty of it was the way he changed his attitude between when he spoke to Avram and when he spoke to Lavan. So when it comes to Yitzchak, we don't need to say the story again. It's not about saying the story over and over and over again. It's about understanding what happens inside of Eliezer. In his own psyche, he became his own person. He was no longer just the Eved Avram. He was no longer just the person subsumed under Avram's identity. Now he only has his own identity, which he learned from Lavan. Bo Baruch Hashem, the man of God who's blessed by God. Lavan taught Eliezer that he was important regardless of Avram Avinu.
And
yeah. Well, the irony is that we actually learn halachos from Lavan. A lot of things we'll see as later on with Yaakov and Leah and Rachel. We learn sheva brachos from him. We learn ein marvin simcha b'simcha from him. But a lot of interesting things that we learn from Lavan. But But yeah, you're right. But just to finish off, one of the most famous aphorisms of the Kutzker Rebbe in the last source you see in source number 10. I don't know if he said this in English or in Hebrew. He might have said it in Yiddish. But either way, the point is clear regardless. Im ani ani ki ata ata. If I am I, because you are you. Ve'ata ata ki ani ani, and you are you, because I am I. Az ani lo ani ve'ata lo ata. If I am myself because of what you are, so then I'm not myself. And if you are you because of who I am, so then you're not yourself. Neither of us are acting like ourselves. We're both basing ourselves on you. However, aval imani ani ki ani ani. If I am myself because I know who I am, ve'ata ata ki ata ata. And the reason that you're the way you are is because you know who you're supposed to be. Az ani ani ve'ata ata. Then we can truly say that I am really myself and you are really yourself. Because we're no longer defining ourselves based on each other. We're no longer buying this, you know, style of clothing just because somebody else bought it. We're no longer trying to keep up with the Joneses, but rather we're just trying to be ourselves. That's when we truly know we are ourselves. And I think in some ways, although it's a different, the way that I sort of veered off from the Kutzker Rebbe sort of changed it a little bit, but it's still a Kutzker idea. That Eliezer needed to be himself, not because of Avram Avinu. Eliezer wasn't important because of Avram. Because while Eliezer was only Eliezer because of Avram, he was always going to be Eved Avram. He was always going to be known as the servant of Avram. But it's only once he breaks off and says, I no longer need to be so tied to Avram. My daughter doesn't need to marry Avram Avinu. Doesn't need to marry into Avram Avinu's family. That's when he becomes Eliezer. That's when he becomes himself, because he realizes that his own identity doesn't have to be wrapped up into it. He is himself. Baruch Hashem, he was blessed by Hashem, regardless of what anybody else thinks or what anyone else does. So that's the story of Avraham Avinu, the story of Yitzhak, the story of Eliezer, knowing others to hopefully know yourself. Shkayach, everyone should have a wonderful week.